This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa wa ba'd. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and every single one of us. Wallahi, if we are to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morning, afternoon, evening, night, every day of our lives, it will not be enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so much. Really, we appreciate this and we should be showing this appreciation by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honored ulama, beloved brothers, sisters, dearest listeners, the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan have roared into life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the benefit of these last 10 nights. Tonight, one of the odd nights of this month of Ramadan, there is a possibility that this may be the night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in Surah Al-Qadr as being the night which is better than 1,000 months. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who can at least engage in some form of extra act of worship in these last 10 nights. Sometimes we are weak and we happen to have work the following morning and we cannot stay awake all night. But if we are to specialize the last 10 nights with a certain deed or a few deeds that are extra over and above those deeds we have been engaging in the last 20 nights, then definitely we stand a better chance to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who have witnessed Laylatul Qadr inshallah this year, who will be witnessing it. Ameen. My dearest ulama, brothers and sisters and listeners, this evening we completed Suratul Ahzab. Suratul Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of a very interesting point. And that point is what makes us mu'mineen. What makes me a true believer? Or what makes you a true believer? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there is a sign of that. That sign is as follows.
وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ.
The true believers, male or female, when Allah and His Messenger have declared something, they find no choice within themselves. They do not feel like they have a choice in that regard. They surrender to it wholeheartedly. That's a sign of iman. When Allah has said something, we love it, we surrender to it. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has declared something, we love it, we surrender to it, without batting an eyelid, without spending a moment of thinking. If that is the case, then we are true believers. Meaning, if we surrender automatically, that's a sign of iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says prostrate in the Quran, we heard yesterday, we immediately fall prostrate. We surrender. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to repent, we repent immediately, may He forgive us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to engage in our salawat, why don't we find ourselves fulfilling our salah in a proper manner? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to dress in a correct manner, why do we find ourselves thinking that we still have a choice in this regard? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us. So that is a verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the true believers, when a command, an instruction of Allah and His Messenger is recited to them, when they are reminded of it, they find themselves surrendering to it immediately. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, declaring who he is, some of his qualities, O Messenger. Beautifully worded verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with utmost respect. Allah says,
Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, inna arsalnaka shahida wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi'idhnihi wa sirajan munira. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَضْلًا كَبِيرًا.
Allah says, O Messenger, we have sent you as a witness, shahidan. And we have sent you as a bearer of good news, mubashiran. And we have sent you as a warner, wa nadhiran. And we have sent you to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His permission, da'iyan ila Allah bi'idhni. You are sent to call people towards Allah by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sirajan muniran. And you are the light that enlightens the path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us part of that light as well. Also, the path itself is light. The path itself is a lantern. You can see it even in the darkness. And that is the beauty of Islam. Subhanallah. When we are in darkness and there is a lantern at a distance, we will be able to walk in that direction, knowing that there is light at the end of the tunnel or somewhere down. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give good news to the believers. You are the bearer of good news to the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in store for them something great, something grand. And Allah says,
وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَدَعْ أَذَاهُمْ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ.
Do not follow the disbelievers and the hypocrites, and turn away from their harm. Meaning when they are trying to harm you, ignore it. When they try to distract you, ignore it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, lay your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Definitely Allah is sufficient as the one whom we lay our trust in. So that is a part of the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the beautiful name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this surah.
مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a father of any of the men in your midst. No, he had children. Some of them were male children. They passed away in infancy and childhood. So no man can claim that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my father. Even Zayd radiallahu anhu, who was looked after by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cannot claim, and the others could not claim, that he is the son of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stipulates the importance of the lineage in Islam. It's important that every individual knows their lineage and they are called by the father's name. This is also mentioned in the same surah. We read the verses last night. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all an understanding and to give us the ability to adopt His laws. And as we said moments ago, to surrender and never to feel like we have a choice once Allah has declared something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger. The final messenger, the final of all messengers. We ask Allah's protection. You have certain groups and sects who believe that He is not the final messenger. By saying that, they remove themselves from the fold of Islam automatically. Automatically. So you have sects like the Qadianis, or known as Ahmadis. They have removed themselves from the fold of Islam totally, totally, without a speck of doubt. There is unanimous consensus amongst Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that those who say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not the final messenger, they are not Muslimin, and definitely they have gone out of the fold. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of the finality of Nubuwwah. And here Allah says, Khataman Nabiyyin, the final prophet. And there is no other translation of that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us understanding. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter makes mention of a very interesting point regarding the etiquettes of visiting the messenger. And this verse is mentioned to us. The lesson is for all of us, etiquettes of visiting one another. Obviously the messenger is on the highest level. But if the lesson is mentioned here, then it is also for us to consider when we visit one another. Listen to the verse. Beautiful, beautiful verse. Allah says,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتَ النَّبِيِّ إِلَّا.
O you who believe, do not enter the house of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unless what?
إِلَّا أَن يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ إِلَى طَعَامٍ غَيْرَ نَاظِرِينَ إِنَاهِ.
unless you've been invited, you've been allowed to enter it for food or for a meal, and you should not go so early whilst it is being prepared. Go when the meal is ready, when it's time to eat. So if you've been invited to eat, you go for the meal. And Allah says, don't go too early. And immediately after that, He says,
وَلَكِنْ إِذَا دُعِيتُمْ فَادْخُلُوا فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثٍ.
You go when the food is ready, and as soon as you've finished eating, you excuse yourself and you leave. Don't engage in long discussion after the meal. People might want to do something. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may have so many other things. And Allah says,
إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِي النَّبِيَّ فَيَسْتَحْيِي مِنْكُمْ.
It used to annoy the messenger that people come and sit for long hours and they constantly, you know, sit forgetting the fact that this is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he was shy. He was shy to tell them directly. So Allah says,
وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ.
Allah is not shy to mention the truth. It's a fact. Imagine, subhanallah. It is reported that after this, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whenever they were invited, they entered, they had their meal, and they would leave immediately. Subhanallah. Unless the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam engaged them in discussion, they stayed for as long as he did. And after that, they left because it is an act of worship. What we need to learn from this, and obviously sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's example is far higher, we need to learn that when we visit one another, let's be considerate of who the person is whom we are visiting. Let's inform them in advance, as we've said a few days ago. And when we go there, we should not become oblivious of time. Sometimes when you're very close to someone, you forget what the time is, and mashallah, you sit up to midnight. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us conscious of the various duties that everybody has. Sometimes people cannot sit for so long. And believe me, there's a golden rule. Even as Muslims, we are taught the same rule. Rather, you'd sit for such a short time that people miss your company and say it was too short, and they await your arrival once again, than to sit for so long that they get irritated the moment they hear you want to go to their homes. Because they know if this man comes, if this lady comes, if this sister comes, she's going to sit from now right up to lunch and after lunch and right to the evening, and we don't know. Rather you go 10 minutes, 15 minutes and you get away in such a way that they're trying to tell you, look, please sit a little bit longer. It's better if you tell them, look, I'll come another time, than to sit to the degree that they get irritated and they don't look forward to your next visit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. It reminds me, on a lighter note, of a notice that I'd once seen when we were young on the door of one of the homes we visited. And this is a true story. It said there, we are very happy at your arrival, but we will be even happier when you depart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. We are Muslimin. We don't want that to happen. So rather keep your visit short and to the point, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all blessing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this etiquette. Thereafter, something very interesting. Moments ago we spoke about how Muslimin are, how a mu'min is. Now Allah says,
Ya ayyuha nabiyyu,
O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ,
instruct your wives,
وَبَنَاتِكَ,
and your daughters,
وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ,
and all the believing women. So look at who the instruction is for. Three categories. Your wives, your daughters, and all the believing women. Why believing? Why does Allah say mu'minina? Let me inform you. Many reasons. One of them is, a few verses before this, Allah says, a true mu'min and mu'mina. You know the verse, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ. Allah makes mention not only of the male mu'min, but Allah specifies the female mu'min as well. Allah says the male mu'min and the female mu'min, the true sign of the fact that they believe is that when Allah has decreed something and the messenger has decreed something, they do not find within themselves the idea that we still have a choice in this regard. No, they surrender immediately. So now you have Allah saying, O Messenger, instruct.
your wives, your daughters, and the believing women. يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ.
Let them draw their cloaks as the outer garments whenever they are in the presence of those who are not mahram. Whenever they are leaving the homes, let them cover their beauty, let them dress with the outer garment, the cloak, subhanallah.
ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَن يُعْرَفْنَ فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ.
Allah says that it is more likely that they will be recognized as chaste women, women who are mu'minat, and therefore they will not be harmed. Believe me, in the Western world, they're trying to ban the niqab and the hijab and so on. There was one non-Muslim journalist, I think it was in Belgium. She decided, let me see how it feels like to don this niqab for a day. And wallahi, I read the article that she came up with after that. She says, it is the most beautiful feeling. I cannot describe it. Subhanallah. In a nutshell, that's what she says. How when you are in niqab, people respect you. You get the odd statement here and there. People want to laugh and so on. But she says, I was greeted with an Arabic murmur. With an Arabic murmur. Later I found out it's a prayer. May the peace and the blessings of the Almighty be upon you, O my sister. How beautiful it is to listen to that every now and again. And all the others in niqab and all the others who are not even in niqab, but they are wearing a scarf. All the others who are Muslimat, they were all greeting and everyone, mashallah, feels that bond, subhanallah. You automatically enter into a family that you may never have realized until you got into that dressing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our women folk. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us improvement. Believe me, sometimes we have shaitan who overtakes people within our own homes who will discourage a young female who wants to dress appropriately by passing negative comments and saying, no, don't do this. You're still young. How are you going to get married? You know, you need to dress in your jeans and your t-shirt so that the boys of the world can see you. When the boys of the world have seen you in your jeans and your t-shirt and they liked you because of that, the whole criteria of them liking you was based on something wrong. It will not allow you the opportunity to turn to Allah easily. But when someone has liked you because of your cloak and scarf and your closeness to Allah, it will give you a bigger opportunity to get even more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The man will come and say, but you're not the woman I married. When I seen you with the jeans and a t-shirt and a miniskirt and so on. What opportunity will we now have to turn to Allah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand that the way you dress, that's the type of spouse that you will get. The reason is, and obviously there is room for tawbah, even after we are married. There may be a lot who are married already and who have made decisions in their lives. It's not too late if we engage in tawbah and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will always be able to rectify what we've done in the past. But remember, if we dress appropriately, then those who are attracted to that appropriate dress, they will be those who have the piety in the heart. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us an opening in this regard. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our doors. A statement I'd like to make, and that is, many women ask, so what should we do? The reality is, whatever step you are on right now, take a few steps up the ladder. Don't ever go back. Don't ever go down. So if you do not don a cloak when you leave the home, at least get that sorted out tonight. This is one of the last odd nights of this month of Ramadan. We commenced by saying we've just roared into these nights. Also, I've given you a very powerful introduction as to the sequence of the verses here. And the fact that we don't have a choice when Allah and His Messenger have decided something. Here is Allah and His Messenger's decision. What are we going to do? It's a question. We want the mercy of Allah, we're crying for it. Wallahi, don't worry. Just turn to Allah, you'll find your doors opening. It might take a while, but the doors will begin to open. You'll feel the mercy and you'll feel the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for a person who's already got a cloak and they're putting on a scarf, maybe we can try a little bit thicker material, slightly thicker, and then put on the niqab. And thereafter, minimize the address with strangers and so on to that which is necessary. And the room, and there is room for improvement with everybody. There is nobody who can get to the level of hijab that is ideal, but we can all head to that direction. Because there is always room for improvement. The same applies to the men folk. No matter what we do, there is always room for improvement. Nobody is perfect. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us as well. Our women folk, our sisters, we need to encourage them. We need to show support. Wallahi, we need to show support to the cause of the deen. And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, and look at the sequence of these verses. He speaks about qiyamah. And he says, يَسْأَلُكَ النَّاسُ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people are asking you about the hour. I've explained in the past that the hour is normally divided into two. The minor hour, which is the death of an individual. And the major hour, which is qiyamah, the end of time.
قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا
Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the knowledge of the hour is with Allah. How do you know? It might be very, very near. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us adopt His commands before it is too late. Look at the sequence of the verses. We spoke about the choice. Mu'min has no choice. We spoke about the dress code, and we said true believers, believing women, are being addressed. So if a woman thinks she has a choice in this regard, then there is room for improvement regarding that iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us really the strength that we need. Then Allah says, look, don't wait till it's going to be too late. If you want to change, change now. Only Allah knows when the end is coming. Look at how beautiful it's worded and how beautiful the sequence is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ سَعِيرًا
Those who deny the laws of Allah, the deniers, the kuffar, Allah says, we have prepared for them a severe punishment. And Allah has cursed them.
خالدين فيها أبدا لا يجدون وليا ولا نصيرا
They will dwell in that severe punishment forever and ever. They will not find any protector nor assister. Then Allah says,
يوم تقلب وجوههم في النار يقولون
The day that their faces will be turned and roasted on that fire. They will be saying, they will be screaming, they will be yelling,
Ya laytana ata'na Allah wa ata'na Rasula.
Oh, destruction be upon us. How we hope and we pray, how we wish that we had followed Allah and the Messenger. Look at the sequence of the verses, mashallah, beautiful sequence. Remember what we said tonight, and here Allah is saying, people will be uttering, when they're being roasted, they'll be uttering, we hope, we wish that we would have followed Allah and the Messenger.
وَقَالُوا إِنَّا أَطَعْنَا سَادَتَنَا وَكُبَرَاءَنَا
قَالُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّا أَطَعْنَا سَادَتَنَا They said, oh, our Rabb, we followed our leaders, we followed the chiefs from amongst us, those who were at the top from amongst us. Ya Allah, they led us astray, give them a double punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and may He really grant us the acceptance so that we can change. Change going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not going away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Suratul Ahzab. And in a nutshell, I've made mention of a few verses that I felt really were verses of great impact. If we read Suratul Ahzab and the meanings of the verses, wallahi, we will tremble in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Surah Saba, Sheba. Sheba is a place in the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how they were granted lots of goodness. They were given gardens on the left and the right. Because they did not adopt the commands of Allah, Allah says, we changed everything for them. We decided to turn their world upside down. So rather than having beautiful fruits for as long as their eyes could see, they had fruits which they could eat on either side. Allah says, because they disbelieved, they belied, they did not follow the message of the messengers, we decided to change that. And we overtook them with a flood. And after that, all the crop that grew was only bitter and unacceptable. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that which is edible. And may Allah make us from those who can appreciate what He's given us. From these verses, we learn that whenever we
disobey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a great possibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might change the good condition we are in and make us suffer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us. In most cases, He gives us a chance and He really allows us that little respite. And thereafter, He pulls. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a turning point before He pulls. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. The next surah is Surah Fatir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention again, and I'm only going to speak about one or two verses in this surah. Surah Fatir, named after the creator, Al-Khaliq, Al-Fatir, the one who has created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how He created the angels and how many wings they have and how great the wings of the angels are. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا.
Shaitan is your outright enemy, O man. So consider him an enemy. Look out for him. Ask yourselves, how did Shaitan come to me today? If you sit and introspect, you will be able to see the loopholes in your life through which Shaitan is coming. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Mostly, we have Shaitan who comes and attack the heart and the condition of the heart. So people are overtaken by jealousy and hatred and malice and the inability to forgive. When we are unable to forgive others, it is excess baggage that really bugs us, and it bogs us down. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never to tie us down with our own baggage. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors for us. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
Ya ayyuhan الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد.
O people, you are the ones who are in absolute need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is totally independent, full of praise. We are in need of Allah for every movement, for every heartbeat, for every breath, for every blink of the eye. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says He is the one who is independent, so turn to Him before it is too late. He says,
إِن يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ.
If Allah wants, He can destroy you all at once and replace you with some other people. That is not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open my doors and yours. May He make this eve a turning point in my life and yours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really grant us the ability to resolve to please Him. Because these auspicious days may never ever come back. Who knows, we might not even see the 23rd night. Who knows, we may never see another Ramadan in our lives. My dearest mothers and sisters, my dearest brothers, elders, all those who are listening, myself included, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to turn towards Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala soften us up. May He rectify our hearts. May He forgive us wherever we've erred. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Oh Allah, You are most forgiving. You love to forgive. So forgive us, Ya Allah. That is the dua we should be making according to the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, which is muttafaqun alayhi, which is agreed upon. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant that to us until we meet again. Subhanallah bihamdih. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayhi.